Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our family are falling apart. We as a nation have totally forsaken.
Oh Lord, forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
Radio show. I am Pastor Leona Ross. Glad to have you here today with us. We are going to be talking about deliverance and why we need it. Because a lot of times we don't understand that because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, that we need to be delivered from those things. The Bible says in Romans 8:1 that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus when we become saved. So those old things must be passed away. All of the generational curses, all of the sin, all of the wrongdoing, anything that is unlike the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as usual, we're going to, before we delve into the topic, we are going to start off with some music today. And remember, I do not own any other rights to these songs. It's just for your listening pleasure. Going to start off with Tasha Cobbs, Break Every Chain. Then we'll have Byron Cage, A Shield For Me. Enjoy the music.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say it to me.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an army rising. There's an army rising.
Comes a time in every believer's life. Trials are going to come, but God said, I will not leave you comfortless. So be encouraged. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul.
together, we fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. Oh yes, for a saint is just a sinner who fell down, but we couldn't stay there and got up. Say now,
we fall down,
oh,
but we get up.
Get back
we
up.
Fall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We get up,
back up.
We fall down.
Oh, my.
We,
we get back up again.
For
a thing
is just
yes,
a
sin. Oh, yes, it does. But we can't stay there. There's a seed of righteousness inside of us. Oh,
we
fall down. Say,
but
we get back up again.
We fall down
sometimes, but we get back up again. Yes, we do that. Rise back up again.
For
the same oh.
McClurkin, We fall down. Such an appropriate song for today because we are talking about deliverance. What is deliverance? Why do I need it? What does it mean and how did I get it? First of all, we're going to start off and we're going to define exactly what deliverance is because there's salvation and then there's deliverance from the sins that so easily have beset us that caused us to be separated from God. And God never wanted us to be separated from Him. So we're going to begin today just by giving out the definitions and then we're going to answer three questions. The first of which we have to recognize the need for deliverance. That's the first thing. The second thing we're going to talk about is that we've got to find the place of deliverance. And finally, the third thing we're going to talk about is that we must receive the deliverance process. All right. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We thank the Lord for this time together, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Let the words come from you, Lord God. Decrease me and increase you in me, that these words might edify these thy people. In the mighty name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, deliverance, the word deliverance is a noun. And as you know, our focus scripture today is Psalms 34. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. So he said, we sought the Lord. That means he diligently looked for him. And he will answer you. Remember, the Bible says that anything that we ask in his name, believe it so, we shall receive it. Okay? So, deliverance is a noun. It means release from captivity, slavery, oppression, or any restraint. Well, we know that sin is a yoke. It restrains us from doing what God has called us to do, from living a godly life. Oppressed because we're constantly worrying. We're constantly in a place where God never meant for us to be, and we are a slave, a captive to sin. That even though we might be doing what our mind thinks is the right thing and what feels good to our bodies, it may very well be, and it is, it ain't very well, it is, not pleasing unto God. The Bible says, live to please God and not men. And that includes ourselves. See, that includes ourselves. We think that because we, you know, we have our freedom, we have our liberty, we are individuals, we have so-called free will, which God gave us. He says, choose in Deuteronomy, he says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. So we have a choice to make, whether we're going to live for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, or if we're going to live for ourselves, live for these worldly pleasures. See? In Luke 4:18, he says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. See, someone has to pronounce it over your life. If you don't see a problem, then guess what? You won't see a need to address the problem. You will think, okay, I'm good. I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. I have everything that I need. I have money. I have a car. I have a nice place to live. I have a good job. I have food on my table. Not recognizing that God has blessed you to be a blessing to others. It's not just for you. It's not just for you. There's a work that he has purpose for you to do in such a time as this. He placed you in the earth for a work. But if you're so into yourself, if you're just living for you and not thinking about anybody else, the Bible says, love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. If you see your neighbor without and you have all this abundance and you say, oh, well, I work for mine. I got mine. He got to get his. That's not love, because you see your neighbor in need and you're not addressing or acknowledging the need. You need to be delivered from selfishness. And deliverance is nothing but a change of mind, a new way of thinking, of seeing why God has placed you in the earth. What is your purpose? The Greek word for deliverance is soter, S-O-T-E-R. It means to rescue physically or morally, to deliver, health, salvation, to save. The Hebrew word is yesha, like in Yeshua, which is the Hebrew word for Jesus. It's Yeshua. But this word is yesha. It means to deliver, to rescue, salvation, safety, the welfare of. See? So those are the words which mean deliverance and which this is a derivative of. This is the root word where deliverance comes from. It's not, I'm sorry, y'all, I want to put this out here, because so many times we think about the movie Exorcist, and we think about all those movies where the Catholic priest come in with the holy water, and he's sprinkling the water, and he's throwing the oil, and he's got the crucifix, and all of these things. And then that demon inside that person is projectile vomiting and all of those things. See, that's possession. That is a demonically possessed person that needs to be delivered, okay? Now, all that is in, you know, for Hollywood, for the movies and all of that, okay? So I wanted to just clear that up. It's not always like that. Sometimes deliverance comes through tears. It's not always somebody throwing up. It's not always somebody rolling around on the floor. It's not always that. God does it however he wants to. And another thing, you may not even be in the presence of anybody. You may not be at the church. Deliverance comes on the street. You can be on a street corner. Somebody can pray for you and get delivered. Remember, Jesus wasn't in the synagogue. Jesus wasn't in the church house. He went to the people that were in need of deliverance. All of his healing were not in the synagogue. They were not in the church. He went to the people in need of salvation, that was in need of deliverance. See, from every spirit that was unlike God, every sickness and every disease. He went to those people. So don't just say, oh, I got to get to the church. No, you just need a man or woman of God who is truly filled with the Spirit of God that can get you free. And all you need to do is receive it. Now, we're going to talk about need for deliverance. Behold, Psalms 51 and 5. It says, behold, I was chafing in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that says, is right there, it says all. If you were born, your mother conceived you. You were born of a woman in this earth, because you had to get here some kind of way. Then you were shaped in iniquity and born in sin. Because out of Adam, when Adam failed to obey God, he separated himself from God. And sin entered in the earth. The Bible says creation did what? Creation failed. Creation failed. Because Adam disobeyed God. Because he held creation in him. Creation was in him. Because remember, God blew into Adam his breath, his spirit. He was already formed on the inside of Adam in the rib. But life, the breath of life, the spirit of the living God was not blown into Eve. It was blown into Adam. Adam was the one that was able to speak as God. Remember, it says in the Bible that God brought all of the animals that he created. He brought them unto Adam, and whatever Adam called them, that's what they were. So he spoke them. See, they didn't have a name. He spoke them to him. See, by God's spirit. Because it was already down on the inside of him. That's found in Genesis 2 and 20. That he gave names to every living creature. He named the animals. Why? Because the very spirit of God was down on the inside of him, and it gave him the power and the ability to do it. See? He gave him the authority, in other words. We recognize that then there is a need. There is a need for deliverance. There is a need because it is inherently in us. Sin is inherently in us. It's not because we did something wrong. Stop allowing people to tell you that. What did Jesus tell his disciples when they asked him about the man that was at the gate, who he healed, and he ran in jumping and shouting? And they asked him, he said, well, who sinned? His mother or his father? And he said, nobody sinned. Nobody sinned. It's done for my glory. He had to be in that situation. He had to be in that shape because I had to demonstrate to you the power. The power that you can heal, deliver, and set free, regardless of whatever state, regardless of whatever environment that you might have been born in, brought up in, come from, encountered, whatever situation may have come up in your life, God is able to heal you, to deliver you, and set free once you recognize the need. Now, if you never acknowledge the need, if you never surrender your will and allow him to heal you from sin, to take the sin away from you, then it's going to remain there. Because now you are accepting the state that you're in. You're comfortable. You're comfortable with being the way that you are. You've accepted it. Have you ever heard people say, well, this is just the way I am, and that's just it. I'm not going to change. No, it's not, and they are exactly right when they make that confession. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. When they say that, oh, this is just the way I am, and I'm just not going to change, that means that they're not willing to surrender their will. They're not willing to try. They're not willing to seek God to see that they can be different. And yeah, maybe you don't make it the first time. Maybe the first time you try to stop drinking, or you try to stop smoking, or you try to stop fornicating, it doesn't work. Or you feel like it doesn't work. But remember, deliverance is a process. You don't confess Christ today and perfect tomorrow. No one is perfect. All of us make mistakes. And church folks need to stop condemning people just because they're struggling with their salvation. Let me say that a different way. Church folks need to stop looking at folks, judging folks, and condemning them just because they're struggling with their walk in Christ. Do you remember before you got to be where you are? Before you got to be so righteous? Who set you up on a high horse in judgment of everybody else? No. See, every man has to work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling. See? So first, that's it. We have to recognize the need for deliverance. Then we have to find a place of deliverance. We're going to talk about 1 Samuel. You want to talk about David. 1 Samuel 19, starting at verse 18. It said, now, David ran away from Saul and came to Samuel at Ramah. He told him all that Saul had done to him. Then he and Samuel went and stayed at Naoth. Saul was told, see, David is at Naoth in Ramah. So Saul sent men to take David. But when they saw the men of God saying, what was going to happen with Samuel leading them, the Spirit of God came upon the men sent by Saul, and they began saying what was going to happen also. When Saul heard this, he sent other men, and they began saying what was going to happen. So Saul sent men for the third time, and they began saying what was going to happen. Then he himself, meaning Saul, went to Ramah and came as far as the large well in Succoth. He asked, where are Saul and David? And someone said, see, they are at Naoth in Ramah. So he went to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also. As he traveled, he said what would happen until he came to Naoth in Ramah. He took off his clothes and said what was going to happen in front of Samuel. He lay down without clothing all that day and all that night. So they say, is Saul among those who say what will happen? In other words, is Saul one among those? Is he one of the prophets? He's prophesying. That's all it means, that if you're saying what will happen. See, they came after David. David couldn't fight Saul, you know, for himself. So he went to a place of deliverance. He went to the man that anointed him in the first place. And remember, when David was anointed, Samuel told David, my spirit will be you. Talking about God's spirit, my spirit will be with you all the days of your life. Now, God is not a man that he should lie. See? So whatever David did, and we know that David's sin, even after he was king, was many. His transgressions was many. They were many. See? But never left him. See? Because whenever David got in trouble, he remembered God. He remembered God. He remembered whose spirit dwelt within him. See, we still, even with the Spirit of God dwelling within us, we still have free will to make the right choice. Doesn't mean that we will. We still mess up because flesh rise up. We have our own mind, our own thoughts, our own desires still. But God will unction us in the direction that he needs us to go. It's up to us whether we do it. Whether we are obedient or whether we are disobedient. See? Adam knew that he wasn't supposed to eat from that tree, but because Eve brought it to him and said, hey, this tastes good. Pique this curiosity. It wasn't that he did not know what God told him to do or what the commandment was or what the consequences were. He knew. But because this little naked lady was standing before him with some fruit, he just had to take a bite. Temptation. It doesn't always come in the form that we think it is. It just very well may be subtle that we think that what we're doing is harmless. See? But where do we go? Where do we go? The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because whenever David did wrong, whenever David sinned, even though he was anointed king and priest, whenever he did wrong, he always went back through to the threshing floor, which means he fasted and prayed and sought God's face for forgiveness. David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Still, God called him righteous. still God honored his word that he spoke over his life, that through his loins, through his lineage, the Son of God would be born, that he would come. And when we go through the lineage, his lineage in Matthew 1, and we read about that, we see all these characters. We see all these people from David down through Christ. Because Joseph was a relative of David. Mary. Because if you understand anything about the Jewish tradition, the lineage comes through the father, not the mother. It always comes through the father. So Mary had no choice but to marry Joseph. And if you remember in the chapter, when Joseph found out that that Mary was pregnant, he wanted to put her away. Why? He thought that she had sinned. Because how else are you going to be pregnant? Okay, I'm going to put you away quietly, but I don't want nobody to kill you, so I ain't going to tell anybody so that you be stoned to death. Because remember, back in those times, if women were caught out of the way, pregnant or with a man, then they were supposed to be stoned. Christ wasn't in the earth yet. There was no grace and mercy. There was only the law, and the wages of sin was what? It was death. So you died. Whatever you did, you died. He knew where his place of deliverance was. David knew that Samuel had anointed him. Samuel was the one that spoke the word of God over him for his life and told him that he was going to be king, and finding nowhere else to run, he ran to a safe place. That was his safe place. So where do we run? See? We have the word of God. See? We have all the psalms that David wrote when he was in trouble, when he needed shelter, when he had to run for his life. Psalms 91, we quote it all the time. He said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. For surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." He's going to deliver me. He's going to cover me. He's going to protect me. See, you got to find that place of deliverance. 2 Samuel 22:2, and he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." And my deliverer. See? So David knew, regardless of what he did, that his help was always in the Lord. That was his place of deliverance. Another case in point. New Testament, Acts chapter 9, verse 5. "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the prince." He trembling, we're talking about Paul, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was blinded. See, we all know the story of Saul before he was converted to Paul, before his deliverance came. He thought that what he was doing was right. He had the legal authority to persecute and kill the Christians. It was his right, because remember, the only thing they had was the law. That's what they had. They had the law. And if you weren't adhering to the law, then hey, punishment is coming upon you because this is the law. Are you greater than Moses? Remember they asked Jesus that? Are you greater than Moses? Because it was our father Moses who gave us the law. So you trying to tell us that what you trying to say now is better than what Moses gave us? Oh, no, we got to kill you. So he was persecuting the Christians. He was persecuting the followers of Christ. He was persecuting the believers. Verse 9 says, Acts 2, chapter 9, verse 9 says, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Who else was captured 3 days in darkness? Couldn't see nothing but the inside of the belly of a fish. Jonah. Jonah thought he was doing what was right. He didn't want to go to Nineveh and tell them people what thus saith the Lord, that in 40 days he's going to destroy this whole city unless you turn and repent. Jonah thought those people weren't good enough to be saved. So he took himself to Tarsus, and God had to enclose him in a fish. He had to enclose him in a fish to get him to understand that that which God has said, that which God has purposed, that which God has anointed, listen, you don't touch. If I tell you to go do this, and I've purposed for you to go this, and I've laid my hands on you, and I've anointed you to do this, then guess what? This is what you're going to do. It ain't about you. See? That's why we have to be delivered from anything that is unlike God, from any sin that separates us from God, that we may do the work that he has called us to do. So he was blinded 3 days. Verse 10 said, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And he said, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And he said, and has seen in a vision a man, Ananias, coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard about this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So he's telling Ananias, who was afraid of him, he already heard of him because he was a persecutor of God's people. Ananias knew, he said, oh, I'm a follower of the way. He knew that Saul was going to kill him. But God told him, no, you ain't got to worry about that. I done already took care of that. He needs you now. See, sometimes the deliverance process will, as it did for Paul, will knock us off of our high horse, where we think that we're so great and that we're so mighty and that we're so this or that we're so that. Sometimes God will bring us down a peg that we might recognize that he alone is God and that everything that we have, everything that we are, and everything that he is, that we are doing is only because of his grace and mercy. It is not because of any great thing that we have done. That there is, in and of itself, there is no righteousness in us. Righteousness comes from the Lord. No matter how we try to justify it, at the end of the day, it's still sin. If it's not God's way, it's still sin. If it's not holy, it's still sin. See? So not only was he going to send Ananias to restore Paul's sight, but he also told him, he said, listen, I'm going to show him some great things that he was going to do, but he's also going to suffer for my name's sake. See, he had his time of being great. All this sin, all this iniquity, when he thought he was doing right, killing God's people, people who called upon the name of the Lord, just wanted to serve God. just wanted to live righteously. Because others couldn't recognize who Christ was, they were deemed ingrate, sinners, criminals, worthy of death. And a lot did die. And even to this day in other countries, and here some places in America, these people still die. Verse 17 said, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And he, trembling, persecuting Christ. But after all of that, after all of the persecution, after all that he did to God's people, God still wanted to deliver him and use him for his kingdom. Let me say that again. Even after all that he did, murdered God's people, he murdered them, killed them, and God still did use them and used him greatly, but he said that you're gonna have to suffer for my sake. You're going to have to suffer. See? Because I want to let you know that I am the one and true God. See? But I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to save you. And then you're going to go out and proclaim this same gospel. You're going to go out and you're going to proclaim this same gospel that you've been persecuting people for, that you've been persecuting people with, that you've been killing people with. Saul was a murderer. David was an adulterer and a murderer. But yet God still used them after hands were laid on him. Because remember, the Bible said that Ananias came and he laid his hands on Paul. See, after the Spirit of God was with them. All the stuff that they use, that's like that's the worst thing that you could do is kill somebody, is take somebody's life. Remember? Saying in Deuteronomy, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. See? What somebody do to you, you got to go back and do it to them? No. But when Christ came, he said, forgive thy enemy and pray for your enemy. Nobody wasn't trying to hear that because people were evil. People were hateful. There was no real love among the brethren. It was ensued when Cain killed Abel. It was ensued when Cain killed Abel. So there was no love, which was why Christ came. John 3:16, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that all who believe in him might be saved. They might have life and that more abundantly. So then if God could deliver Paul and God could deliver David, what makes you think? Did you murder anybody? See? Have you murdered anybody? Then why can't you be forgiven? If he say for all have sinned and fall short of the glory, then what makes you think that anything that you have done is so bad, it's so atrocious, it's so horrific that God won't save you? That God will indeed stop loving you because of what you did? When he said that he died for all, for everybody who sinned. He died for everybody who sinned. So What makes you think that you can't be delivered from whatever is holding you captive? Because remember, that's what it means, to be free from whatever is holding you captive, to be free from whatever is stopping you from getting to the place where God needs and wants you to be. And that brings us to our last point, receive your deliverance. Once God has said that you are forgiven, once God has said that you are free, in whatever fashion, however it comes, whether it comes through prayer, whether it comes through the laying on of hands, whether it comes just through the, by the anointing, and you just boo-hoo crying, telling God, I'm sorry, God. However it comes to you, receive it. Receive it. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Let me read 11 again. He said, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What did it say? He said, this is what you were. This is not what you are. You have been delivered. You have been cleansed. This is the word of God that has come and changed your life. He has washed you. He has cleansed you. He has changed your very character. Why can't you believe what God says about you? If he says that you, he didn't lie about anything else. So why would he lie about what he says about you? He said, this is what you were. That's not who you are anymore. Those things are in the past. You are a new creation because of Christ. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory, you are now delivered. You are now set free. You are now living and justified by the Spirit of God. 1 John 4, 1, it says, believe, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God hear not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Now he's describing to you who you are, because now you have been delivered. And his spirit is in you. So you can recognize the spirit by his spirit, whether it is true or whether it is false. So now you are not tricked. You're not easily beset by every wind of doctrine that you hear. You are able to discern by the Spirit of God those who are indeed of Christ Jesus and those who are not. So you don't get tricked again and get caught up and get entangled in the worldly things anymore. See? That's what it means to receive deliverance process, because you're different now. I'm not saying you're not going to mess up. I'm not saying you're not going to make a mistake. But you're going to know what righteousness is. You're going to know what sanctification is. You're going to recognize the change in you. See? What did he say to the lady at John 8 and 11? Who was caught, as they say, in the midst of adultery? Jesus looked around and said, "Woman, where are thou accusers?" She said, "There are none." And in John 8 and 11, she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." See? The wages of sin is death. Death was at your door. Eternal separation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal separation from God's kingdom was at your door. But because Christ intervened, Christ stepped in a crucial time when your back was getting against the wall and you could not see any other way out. There was nothing any man, woman, boy, or girl could do for you. You had to call upon the Lord. You had to. See? Psalms 34:4, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." That thing that had you in a place where you didn't have nobody else to turn to. There was nothing else that you could possibly do except seek God. And he answered you and got you out of that situation. He delivered you not only from that circumstance, but delivered you mind, body, and soul. See? She was in a place where she was finna die. And our circumstance or our situation very well may not be that we're going to die, but it could be in a very uncomfortable place where, hey, we don't want to be there. God, you got to help me. Because I don't know what it is that I'm going to do. If you don't help me, Lord, then, hey, I just can't be helped. Psalms 40 and 13, it says, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me." Verse 17 in the same chapter say, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying." Oh, my God. God, don't waste no time. Hurry up and get here. And you know when we are in trouble, when we really got our backs against the wall, you know we know every prayer it is. See? To hurry up and come. And we know, because he said that if we act, that he's going to come. So again, what makes you think there is anything that you have done that is so horrific, that is so terrible, that God won't help you? Galatians 5:1, it says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Receive your deliverance." Romans 6:14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." You're not under the law, but you are now under grace. See? You have been freed from the curse of the law. Because under the law, sin, you receive death. The wages of sin is death. You sin, you die. There was no grace. There was no grace. The only thing you could do was, hey, I got caught. I'm finna die. Remember the battle of Achan in the book of Joshua when they took Jericho? It was the battle of Ai, and Achan stole some things and he hid them in his tent. And And Joshua, when the battle was lost, Joshua fell on the ground before God and asked God why, and God told him, get up, Joshua, you didn't sin, you didn't do anything wrong, but one of the children of Israel, they took the accursed thing and they brought it back to their tent. Now go, tribe by tribe, clan by clan, family by family. And once he did that, Achan came in his family. It was Achan and his family. And he had took some things and he hid them in his tent, under his tent, and Joshua sent the men to go and dig it up. Achan, because of his greed, caused his whole family to die. Right then and there, all of his family dead. They were killed because the wages of sin was death. See, that was the law. That was the law. There was no grace under the law. That was the law. You didn't just die, but your whole family was cut off in order to get the sin out of the camp. Because if you did it, then even if they didn't know about it, they should have known about it. They should have reported. They should have known. So therefore, in order for it to be cut off, the whole entire family had to die. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6 and 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. See? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. See? Being then made free from sin, now you are the servants of righteousness. No longer a captive or a slave to sin. Now you are servants under righteousness. Under the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a changed person. You are changed. See? And our final scripture here, it's all about receiving your deliverance, knowing who you are in Christ. Luke 10 and 19, it says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Once you're delivered, once you're no longer a slave to the enemy, once you're no longer held in captivity by the sin that so easily besets us, that we were born and shaped in, coming into this world. Once we have been set free, now we can receive the power of God, that everything that so easily caused us to sin, he has given us power over all those things. How? By the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor Ross, all that sounds good, but how is we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to live like that? How? That's just impossible. No, it's not possible. It's not impossible. Because if it were not possible, God would have never said it. He's given us the tools. He's given us his word. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12, verse 11, start it, team. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not about you. It's his power, it's his might. We just need to call on him. He is the one who fights our battles. That's how. That's how you do it. Put on the whole armor of God, not your armor. Don't go pick up your gun. Don't go pick up your sword or your knife. But put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It is a spiritual battle. The natural things are not going to help you. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Remember I said it wasn't just about you. Remember I said that at the beginning, there it is. For all the saints, not just for you. When God blesses us, it's not just for us. Not just for, it's for his kingdom. It's so that his kingdom might be glorified in us. See? Christ in you, the hope of glory. See? We are somebody's hope for God's glory. That's why. This is why. So we can't afford to be selfish. Can't afford to be braggadocious or boastful. Can't afford to be greedy. Can't afford to live in a sinful way. We have to lay everything at God's feet so that we may be fully healed, delivered, and set free, made in the image of Christ in and at all times. Walk in the path of righteousness. But in order to do that, we need to recognize that we are sinful people in need of deliverance. And then we have to find that place of deliverance in Christ. We have to go to him and finally we got to receive what he says about us. Receive the process. Allow God to direct our path. Let go of our will. Let go of how we think and how we feel, or what we think we should be doing and how we should be doing, and ask God, what is your will for my life? We can think all day, but that don't mean that we're in accordance with what God has purposed for our life. And as long as you got breath in your body, blood in your veins, able to get up, look, see, talk, speak, move, there's always an opportunity to come in a right standing with the Father. Always. I never let nobody make you think that it's too late. It's never too late. God is always waiting on you to receive him. He's not giving up on you, so don't give up on him. Regardless of what anybody else says, believe what his word says. It was written for life. It was written so that we may be free and have life, and that more abundant. This has been Pastor Leona Ross with If My People. I do hope that this word has blessed you today about deliverance. Do you see yourself in any of it? Has it blessed you in any way? That's the goal. The whole purpose of this broadcast is that people's lives might be changed, that they might come in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that this word might pierce your heart and you say, as in Acts 2, how can I be saved? and you endeavor to seek out and find the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. Not for my glory. Mm-mm. It ain't at all about me. It's always about God's kingdom. So I hope this word has blessed you. We will be right back here again next week at 12 noon. And we're going out of here with Fred Hammond. Jesus called me righteous. Blessings on you and have a wonderful week.
Nature. same. You can call me
Jesus, Lord.
Honeycomb, man, yeah.